ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we'll recite these verses, 13th chapter, 8 to 12.
अमानित्वमदं वित्वं अहिंसा शान्तिरार्जवम् आचार्योपासनं शौचम् धैर्यमात्मविनिग्रहः इन्द्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् अनहंकारमेव च जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि दुख दोषानुदर्शनम् असक्तिरन विश्वंग पुत्रदार गृहादिषु नित्यं च समचित्तत्वम् इष्टानिष्टोपपत्तिषु मयि चानंजयोगेन भक्तिरव्यभिचारिणी विविक्तदेशसेवित्वम् अरतिर्जन संसदि अध्यात्मज्ञान नित्यत्वम् तत्त्वज्ञानार्थदर्शनम् एतज्ज्ञानमिति प्रोक्तम् अज्ञानं यदतोऽन्यथा।
So translation is like this: humility, pridelessness, non-balance, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So we have seen Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantir. So we are discussing Arjavam, simplicity. So Prabhupada says here about simplicity. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. So there is a verse which Prabhupada quotes in one of his lectures. He says, Griham Shatrumapi Praptam Vishwastam Akuto Bhayam. It's a very simple verse. He says, Griham means house, Shatrumapi Praptam. Even if an enemy comes as a guest in our home, what should we do? Vishwastam Akuto Bhayam. One should treat him so nicely that he will not even feel that he is an enemy. He is coming to the enemy's house. The Prabhupada says this. So in this connection, Srila Prabhupada quotes the example of the warriors who meet one another during the evening after the war is over. Like Arjuna comes to the tent of Duryodhana to meet him to take those 5 arrows, you know. So they meet like friends. They don't treat one another as enemy. The Vedic life gives such importance to receiving guests. But even if one may be considered an enemy of the family, still they should be welcomed in such a way that they don't feel any enmity. They should be feeling warmth when they come. So, that example is given here because simplicity means this is the way one is supposed to treat others. This quality is necessary for a person. This is one of the processes of knowledge required for achieving the jnana. Simplicity and straightforwardness. Opposite to this is complexity or duplicitousness. Or one who makes plots to cause some trouble to others. Or one who harbors malice towards others. Or one who plays a double role. A honey tongue with a heart of gall, as we say. So, sweet talking on the face and backbiting on the back. So, such kind of behavior leads to duplicity. It's duplicitous behavior, which is against simplicity. Duplicity is very common, especially in the modern times. So, such duplicity will be a big impediment to your advance in sadhaka, one who wants to advance in spiritual subject matter. In fact, when Prahlad Maharaj was taught economics and sociology and all, he was not interested. One of the reasons was that he found that his teachers were teaching that he is your friend and he is your enemy. You make friends with this person, it will help you later. He is your enemy, be careful. So Prahlad Maharaj became uninterested in such a subject, which is dealing with politics. Because if a devotee becomes political, or a sadhaka becomes political, his mind will be constantly analyzing various options to give trouble to others. Just as Duryodhana was making plans to give trouble to the Pandavas, isn't it? His mind will be always planning like that. So a devotee is supposed to see everyone alike. One example of simplicity we find in Dronacharya. When Dhrishtadyumna came as his disciple, Dronacharya knew who he was. But as a Brahmana, he is supposed to exhibit simplicity. As we say, these qualities of Brahmana, Brahma Karma Svavajam, what are the qualities of Brahmana? Shama Dhamma Tapashosham Kshantir Arjavam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Svavajam. So, one of the qualities of a Brahmana is that he is simple. So because of which we find that he accepted him as a student and was ready to teach him without any partiality. Which means seeing everyone equally. Treating everyone equally. Not making any distinctions superficially. So simplicity, that Prabhupada says here, that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward. One should be without duplicity. And as I told you earlier, these are all the different sadhanas for a person who wants to achieve the jnana or the knowable, which is the super soul. So, in this particular step it is explained how if one keeps his heart very simple, like an innocent child, that would be very favorable for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge and making progress. Like we find in the 11th canto, Avadhut Brahman was wandering in the forest and Maharaj Yadu was passing by. So he met him and asked, "Oh great sage, oh Avadhuta, I see that you don't have any possessions with you and you don't seem to be carrying any valuables with you and you are guilelessly wandering in the forest like this. And you seem to be having no fear in the forest, although there may be many forest animals here. And you seem to be having nothing for tomorrow. You don't have a bank balance. You have nothing with you. But you are so happy. I can see that your face is very cheerful. What is the secret of your happiness? How are you wandering in this forest like a simple innocent child?" So the Avadhuta says that he learned many lessons from different things in nature. 24 gurus he explains that. So in this way, one who has simplicity is also cheerful at heart always. There is no, for example, before entering into grihastha ashram, one is given the brahmachari training in the Vedic life. First 25 years one is a brahmachari and then one goes to grihastha ashram and then vanaprastha. In brahmachari life, the simplicity is very much stressed. As Narada Muni says the famous verse, "Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Gurur Hitam, Acharan Dasavan Nicho Guru Sudra Sauhurtam. When Brahmacharya is living in the ashram of Guru, he is supposed to control his senses and simply be like a servant to the spiritual master, render menial services, like, you know, Purascharya, if you see, clean the ashram all around in the early morning hours. Similarly, go and beg alms and bring and give it to the spiritual master, and whatever spiritual master gives him only, he will eat that. And render menial services. Collecting firewood like Krishna and Sudama are collecting. And taking care of cows and reciting the Vedic mantras. Wearing very simple dress. So Prabhupada says that also simplicity also means not to encourage artificial necessities of life. That is also simplicity. One definition of simplicity Prabhupada gives in another place. Not encouraging artificial necessities of life. So Gurukula one is supposed to live like that. But you heard the story of the boy who was living in Gurukul when his guru went out, what he did, isn't it? A rat came, isn't it? And then he got a cat to attend to rat, and then the cow came, and he increased the necessities, right? So in the same manner, the purpose of giving that training for simplicity in Brahmacharya ashram is like one sleeps on a simple chatai on the floor, and one rises early in the morning. One generally takes cold water bath if one can, in general. Occasionally, if it is terribly cold, somebody has some asthmatic problem or something, they are allowed to take hot water bath. Otherwise, in general, devotees take generally cold water bath, rising in the morning, coming in front of the deity, chanting, dancing, performing spiritual activities in the morning. So when one is trained like this from childhood, then even after marriage, one may continue this lifestyle. And one may keep the home very spiritual. By such simplicity. And Brahmacharya is not supposed to accumulate too much. That is why he is given a small locker. Within that he has to fit in everything he has. Sometimes Brahmacharya asks, can I have two more lockers? I cannot fit in here. No, you are supposed to fit in within that. Isn't it? So, we teach people to have light luggage in Brahmacharya life, because this world is a temporary place. We don't know how long we will live. So, if you keep less things, it's easy to maintain. But as a grihastha, all of you will know that if you go for a very big house, naturally you also want to fill up all the rooms with furniture. And the maintenance also increases more. Oh, I have to maintain this, I have to maintain that. Sometimes, many times you will find in some certain homes people feel it will be nice to have a washing machine, you know. So that, you know, you can wash our clothes very easily. You know, we cannot bow down and, you know, strain ourselves, so many clothes to be washed. So it's very nice to have a washing machine, isn't it? But sometimes power goes off. And now the machine is not working. Then you have to wash. Now you will be, when you are washing the clothes, you will be cursing so many people. You will beat the clothes on whatever anger you have on others. Along with the electricity also. Electricity went away and beat like this. And then you will scold all the people at the home. Nobody is around to help me. Because after you enjoy some comfort, then when you go back to the older ways of doing things, it appears like hell. It's very difficult. See that. Like I have seen my mother, you know, she had a big grinder she used to use, you know, when we were in the village. So she used to do very easily, you know. You can see village people are very hale and healthy, you have seen that. Even after 60, 70 years, they are so healthy, you can see that. But once they come to city, they have the grinder and everything. Of course, when you are living in flats, you can't afford to have, you know, all kinds of village items. But the idea of what you are trying to say, the more you increase the comforts, we become a slave of the machines, slave of those things. We get used to them. And our life also becomes complex. For example, you have a mixie or something in the kitchen, you know, with which you produce something. And suddenly, you know, it's not working. Then you have to go somewhere and get it repaired, and it takes a lot of time. So our maintenance of the possessions that we have increases our time in material engagement. We don't have enough time for Krishna consciousness. We can see that. That is why it is said one should try to simplify life. In Brahmacharya life it is very much stressed that one should keep life utterly simple. But sometimes in family life the problems could be more complex. For example, even in a devotee community abroad, like one Narendra Swami writes in one of his articles, he says, how one grihastha had written a letter to him saying that, you know, my daughter is writing a love letter to some boy. I am worried, I have to get her married as soon as possible so that she doesn't fall prey to irreligion. Such a tremendous anxiety. Constantly you are going to office, but your whole mind is in the daughter. Oh, now we are sending her to college, she should be safe. Similarly, he is writing my son. He doesn't have any taste for devotion service. All the time he is sitting in the computer all day, goes to computer cafe, spending all the time. It's a big anxiety. So life becomes more complex. You can see that these are more complex problems. They are not simple. So, as a duty-bound mother and father, every devotee should keep home so Krishna conscious, so that you won't get the blame of your children not becoming Krishna conscious. Because Krishna consciousness is a very personal thing, and every individual soul, according to its purva karma, purva abhyas and everything, and also depending on one's sincere endeavor in this life and mercy of the Vaishnavas, one gets Krishna consciousness. So in Grihastha life also, if one keeps life simple and focused in Krishna consciousness, then the children also may take to Krishna consciousness. And if they don't take, then you will not be blamed, because you have done your part very well. Like Gauranga Prabhu was telling a joke when he came to Pune recently. Whenever I meet him, he keeps me laughing all the time. So he was telling me, so he asked, how many people have TV? He asked. So many people are raising hand that we have TV at home. And then one person was not satisfied giving that answer that I have TV at home. He said, sir, I want to say something. He was waving his hand. And I said, just tell me what you want to say. He said, actually we have TV at home, but actually it is not for us, it's only for our children. Because the children demand television, so that is why we keep for them. And then he asked, what about you? Do you see? Yeah, yeah, we sit behind and watch. We don't see in front of them, we sit behind and watch. Just to encourage them, you know. We don't want to actually see. He was joking. So in that way, our life can become complex. Sometimes what happens, parents say, actually, you know, we are not interested in all these things, you know. But you see, children are modern age children, they demand so many things, you know. That is why we have to take them to, you know, Disneyland, we have to go to SL World, you know. You know, we have to, you know, offer them a TV, you know. But offer them the facilities and everything, so that they'll be happy. You know, doctors say that, you know, they should not be psychologically affected. You know, they should not have a stunted growth in life. So let us be free. They want 5-star chocolate, buy and give them. All kinds of, whether it's harmful or not, don't care. Just keep on providing them. Many parents do like that. So they don't keep the life simple. Actually, the mother is supposed to teach the daughter in the kitchen how to cook, how to clean the pots, how to draw rangoli, how to worship the Lord, how to do the household activities very nicely, and how to keep the home clean, neat and tidy. Similarly, a boy is also supposed to be trained by the special master or the father in reciting the shlokas, in understanding the philosophy, learning the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the goal of life. So mother and father have a great duty in practicing their spiritual life themselves as well as giving to their children. So father, the life has to be simple. Some homes you see, they are very simple. You go, early morning you go, you find them doing Mangala Arati, or the whole family is doing together, playing kartal, mridangam. Some families are like that. They have a beautiful altar. Every day they make a beautiful garland and offer to the Lord. At least a few times in a week they bathe the deities and dress them very nicely, and they offer bhoga several times a day. Some homes they offer 6 times a day, 3 times a day, 6 times a day they offer. And all the family members come together for chanting, in the morning chanting together. Then the father may recite from Bhagavatam and explain for the people. So of course, somebody may say, this is too idealistic. What about the cooking? Who will do cooking? If you employ a servant, who will pay the servant? So it's understandable that there are other duties also to do at home. But if one, as far as possible, keeps the home simple and Krishna-based, Krishna-centered, then your problems also will be simple. See, that is the importance of the simplicity. Keep your life simple, your problems will be simple and easy to solve. Make your home complex, your problems will be complex. And you will get mental stress, strain, depression, quarrel, misunderstanding, conflict. Then you have to read conflict resolution book, how to solve conflicts at home. Isn't it? Go for all that. So we have to keep our home simple. So simplicity is very important in the life of a devotee. So Prabhupada gives the example of Prahlad. How he was so simple. When Prahlad's father called him, Hiranyakashipu called him, and loudly shouted and chastised him, "Prahlad, today I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj. Let me see how your protector Vishnu comes to protect you. Tell me where is he? I want to capture him." So Prahlad actually thought his father was joking. He never took it seriously because Prahlad was a very simple child. He said, "My dear father, my lord is everywhere." He said, no, don't say like this and escape. Tell me exactly where is he. You see in this pillar. So Prabhupada appreciates Prahlad's simplicity. Prahlad was so simple. Even when Lord Narsingadeva appeared, Prahlad Maharaj garlanded him, offered him obeisances, and prayed for his father, "Please deliver my father." He was very sinful. And then all the demigods, they were all trembling because Lord Narsingadeva was roaring like thunder. It is said his roaring was so great that all the animals in the forest were fleeing in fear. So nobody could tolerate the voice of Lord Narsingadeva. Even after destroying Hiranyakashipu by breaking apart his stomach, body, cutting into pieces, and he took the intestine and wore it on his neck, and he killed him. Still, the Lord had such anger because the Lord remembered how this Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad. The Lord remembered that. But then all the demigods were very afraid to go near. You know, because just now the Lord has killed, and he is in an angry mood, he should not do anything to us. They have fear now. Generally, Prabhupada says the demigods, because they are mixed devotees, they have fear. Prabhupada says. On one hand, they have respect for the Lord, on the other hand, they have fear also. At that time, Brahma told Prahlad, "You go in front of the Lord and you pacify him." So Prahlad very boldly went because of the simplicity of heart, Prabhupada says. So there is simplicity in consciousness. So we say simple living, high thinking, that is generally said for keeping our life as simple as possible. If you go for too much luxuries and facilities in life and make our life complex, many of the things affect our mind. That is the problem. You see, the Western civilization is such that physically they have a lot of comforts, but mentally they are stressed out. That means all the physical problems have gone to the mind, which causes even more tension and problems. You can see that. So this is Arjavam, without diplomacy. So Duryodhana was so much having diplomatic behavior, he was not peaceful for one moment. Even when he was ruling the kingdom, he always was arranging ways and means to please the people. He wanted to keep Pandavas at bay, so they won't come in, they won't return back to the country. He wanted to keep them in the forest. While they were in the forest, Duryodhana was not peaceful at all. He was always making ways and means to destroy the Pandavas. So a diplomatic person is always a person who suffers the most. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his writings, he says a very interesting thing. A devotee should not be eager to find fault with others owing to some envy or owing to pride. A devotee should not be able to find fault with other devotees. If a devotee does that, then a devotee will not be able to focus his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. It is not possible because of duplicitous behavior. If we find fault and we criticize other devotees and we delight in doing so, then our mind will not be fixed in Krishna's lotus feet. On the other hand, a devotee who is simple at heart, he always appreciates others and tolerates all the difficult situations, such a devotee will be able to easily focus his mind on Krishna. So that is simplicity. Then he talks about acharyopasana. As far as acceptance of the spiritual master, that is essential, because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services, so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. That means Prabhupada says that if one follows the instruction of Guru, Acharya Upasana, then one it becomes very easy for one to follow the principles. Like when Prabhupada was in West, so many disciples who were having difficult time to follow the principles, they had joined our society. In the early days they had a lot of difficulty. Like in San Francisco when Prabhupada was living, in the morning sometimes you would not find all the devotees. Where are the devotees? They would go to the neighborhood shop, donut shop, you know. They'd be there and eating ice creams. They are not supposed to eat all that. So Prabhupada would take his stick and come out and watch, where are the devotees? Somebody will say that, Prabhupada, they are in the neighborhood shop. So Prabhupada will peep in from here to see whether they are there. And all devotees will go hide under the table. No? Prabhupada would come. So, this was a very early days. But then, after Prabhupada would go, they would return back. What was going on in the devotees' heart, disciples' heart? They loved Prabhupada very much. They intensely loved him. And they wanted to please him in whatever way possible. Even when, one step before this we can say how, disciples, for the first time when Prabhupada was giving class to them, some of the disciples like, Steve, who became Satsudath Maharaj later, and Prabhupada also had, that time, Kate, who became Ketanan Swami later. So these people were there in those days. So once when Prabhupada was about to come for the lecture, just before he came, they had arranged for a very beautiful asana they had made. They had made a very nice backdrop in back of Prabhupada. They had made altar for Radha and Krishna, very beautiful. They had put incense sticks all over the room. And they had somehow purchased a rug for all the people to sit. They had put that. And on the walls they had put all beautiful paintings, which they had procured from India. And they didn't even know what are those paintings, many of those paintings. Some contained Hanuman. They thought it is some monkey. They didn't know. Some pictures of Lord Chaitanya also they had. So they had put all the pictures and all of them were standing and waiting with folded palms and Prabhupada entered and all of them were completely mum and expecting what is Prabhupada going to say. They were just waiting to see the smile in Prabhupada's face. And Prabhupada came and saw the beautiful asana, elevated asana they had made. And Prabhupada accepted the asana. And Sir Radhakrishnan, he said, very nice. And he saw the incense sticks was put up, the fragrant smell pervading the whole room, creating a very divine atmosphere. Prabhupada was very, very appreciative. So Prabhupada said, I am very pleased with all these things. Prabhupada congratulated them. And all of them became very satisfied. So what you understand from this incident, the disciple has a very ardent desire to please the Guru, to see the smile on the face of Guru. As long as the disciple is not working in that spirit, a disciple cannot feel Krishna consciousness. It is not possible. Unless we feel Krishna consciousness, we cannot give Krishna consciousness to others. Actually, giving Krishna consciousness to others means transforming their hearts. And we cannot do that unless we ourselves feel it. And we cannot feel it unless we want to please someone in the world. Once is one of Dana Swami was telling that in this world if you don't have something to die for, then your life is not worth living. He said in one of the lectures. There should be something in the world that you are ready to die for. You will even lay down your life for that. So different people die for different things. Like somebody may like to join the army and he would like to throw bomb in Pakistan and die there. Maybe like a daredevil. So similarly, different people have different desires. Some people want to die for social service. But if one can give his body, mind and words in Krishna's service with full absorption, which is actually done by surrendering to the order of Guru, spiritual master, then such a person actually his life is very, very worth living and he can benefit the other people. So satisfaction of the spiritual master is the thing that determines the success in the life of the disciple. That is called a success for the disciple. Spiritual master should be satisfied. So this way the disciples are trying to please Prabhupada, even in New York, and subsequently in San Francisco also, many other devotees. And it's all because they were, like I was telling you, other devotees go to the donut shop to eat some donuts or some ice cream or something. They were struggling with their senses on one hand to control them and become purified, on the other hand they wanted to please Prabhupada. So they would follow the principles, why? Only for the pleasure of the Guru. This is the secret of Vaishnava philosophy, that Vaishnava offers his shelter to a suffering jiva who develops love for him, attraction for him, and by that love he inspires him to elevate him to a higher platform. Like all of us now, why do we follow the four greater principles? Why do we chant 16 rounds every day? Why do we live a righteous life? Because we know that we have to please our special master. Because if he is not pleased, then I will never be able to attain Krishna. Because he is having Krishna, he only can give Krishna. So that's very important. One should not work mindlessly in one's spiritual life, not remembering that one should offer these things to special master. And even before we read, we should offer obeisances to Guru. And once you pray to the spiritual master to give the buddhi to understand the scripture, and then we read the scripture, after understanding it, finishing it, again we have to offer obeisances according to Bhagavatam. Again we offer obeisances and thank Guru for giving us an opportunity in our life to access the scriptures, which we would not do if we didn't meet the Guru. So we should thank him for that. So Acharya Upasana is very important. You see, the original Adi Guru is Balram. It is said Lord Ananta, on which Mahavishnu is also lying. Mahavishnu creates so many universes. But all these universes, how are they sustained? They are sustained by the power of the hoods of Ananta. All the universes, because the Ananta Shesh is the Balram, who later on comes as Lakshman and all those different forms. So Ananta is holding all the universes on his hoods. But he himself is not standing on any platform. That is how we can know that Ananta is the original source of all spiritual strength. You can understand that. If you take any big pahlavan or some wrestler, weightlifter or someone, he may lift a very, very heavy weight, but he himself is held by the earth. If there is nothing holding him, he will go down along with the weight. Isn't it? But Lord Ananta is holding all the universes on his hoods, but there is no one holding him. So he is the source of all strength, proper strength. Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhyo. So the Guru derives his spiritual strength from Balaram. And Guru has the strength and power. And the disciple should take advantage of the mercy of the spiritual master to make advancement in spiritual life. Like for example, Balaram kills Denukasur and Pralambasur. So all these asuras, they represent contaminations in our heart also. Denukasura represents the ignorance in our heart, darkness in our heart. So just as Balaram kills Denukasura, similarly the Guru kills the ignorance in our heart. Omajnana Tamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. So when one does Acharya Pasanam, which means worship of Guru or worship of Acharya, with great reverence and faith, such a person can make advancement far more faster than one who struggles hard to control his senses by his own personal endeavor. Because mercy is a far more powerful factor than one's personal endeavor. Which is not to say that one's endeavor is not required. We have to put endeavor. But that endeavor which attracts the mercy of the Acharya is by far superior than the endeavor that one puts to control his mind and senses without pleasing the Acharya. One can understand that. So, what is the role of Guru in a disciple's life? A Guru, just like a mother, nurtures her child and protects her child, sometimes from very scorching heat of the sun, or sometimes from the cutting cold of the winter, by keeping very nice warm clothes for the child, or sometimes from other dangers, or like creatures, like some reptiles or some animals like dogs or monkeys or different animals. So she is giving protection to the tender child. Sometimes child is newborn child, cannot even open the eyes. He's lying in the bed. He cannot even see. He cannot even know who is he, where is he. The body is so tender. But mother protects the child. Similarly, Guru also protects the disciple from understanding the difference between what is bhakti and what is bhakti-abhas. the difference between bhakti and bhakti abhas. Bhakti abhas means that which looks like bhakti, which is not bhakti. That is called as bhakti abhas. That's a contamination. Bhakti abhas is a contamination. Just like there is jnana mishra bhakti and yoga mishra bhakti. So this, as soon as you say the word mishra, that means there is some contamination there. What's the contamination? Sometimes we have a tendency to become ritualistic. Some people overly emphasize on rituals and they don't become spiritual. They remain ritualistic. Like for example, one devotee was telling, he wakes up in the morning, early morning he does, Guru Ashtakam, then he does Narsingharti, Tulasi Arti, then he does Brahma Samhita, then he recites the Karavanampa Stotram, then he recites Navagauravaram and all this. Then he recites Vishnu Sahasranama Stotram, all these things he does. For 3 hours he does. And then he goes to company. And he asks, when do you chant? Oh, I chanted the night, Prabhuji. I said, why do you do all this in the morning? So some people are very attached to rituals. They are very fond of performing rituals. So sometimes they think Krishna consciousness means rituals. No. Krishna consciousness is a spiritual philosophy. So rituals have their part, but that is not the ultimate. The ritual should be done in order to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of rituals. Doing it. Like in South India, the rituals are very, very strong. People are very deeply rooted in rituals. You can see for every small festival, there will be so many rituals will be there. Very elaborate rituals. In worship also, temple worship, there are a lot of rituals you will see. Sometimes in caught up in rituals, one forgets the essence, which is to develop love for Krishna. One forgets that. A practical example is the Yajnik Brahmins, who had the contamination of rituals. They were so fond of rituals that they forgot the Purushottama, Lord Krishna, who came in the neighborhood, and they forgot to serve him. While their wives, they took all the prasad and bhoga and they offered him. And see that. So this is one contamination, karma mishra bhakti. Similarly, there is jnana mishra bhakti also. Sometimes a devotee becomes too fond of studying too many scriptures and too many books. And they start first, they begin from small books, but then they go into various other books, Some people read Kabir ke Dohe, Tulasi ke Dohe, and they read Rahim ke Dohe, and they read Ramdas ke Dohe. Very different kinds of things. Then they have read Mahabharata, they have read Rama, and they say original this text I have read, and this Puran, Garuda Puran, this Puran, that Puran. They have mastered a lot of things. But then you see that still they have the false pride. You can see that is not gone despite so much of learning. There is no humility. You see that many times they are very eager to talk their own glories than to glorify other Vaishnavas. When Vallabhavad came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, I have written a commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam where I oppose the commentary of Sridhara Swami, he said. So he said that I have given very nice explanation on my own. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu outrightly rejected it. He said, if something is not coming in Parampara, he said, one who rejects Swami and gives his own commentary is a prostitute, he said. So he has said with a double meaning. What is the double meaning? One has to be chaste to Parampara. Whatever our acharyas have taught, that only we should teach others. We should not mix it up with one's own concoctions and contaminations and speculations. One should repeat from Parampara properly. So in that sense he said, Sridhara Swami is the original commentator of Srimad Bhagavat and you are saying you have given a commentary against him. Then he said, you are not chaste, then you are like a prostitute, he said. Anyone who gives commentary against the Swami is like a prostitute. In another sense, so one meaning is Sridhara Swami, another one is the Swami of a woman, both meanings. So in this way, sometimes one becomes very scholarly and becomes very proud of one's knowledge. So much so that one considers everyone else as a fool and one becomes self-righteous. So that is the contamination which comes from jnana mishra, bhakti. That is why in the Bhagavatam reading it is said, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, it is said. Why it is prayeshu? Why only we are partially cleansed when we read Bhagavatam? Because from recitation of Bhagavatam also pride comes before nishta bhakti. After nishta bhakti comes, that pride goes away. After that, one becomes humble. But before nishta stage, one has that false pride. So, this jnana mishra bhakti And then, similarly, Yoga Mishra Bhaktas, what they do? They will be too much. There are many, Sri Vaishnavas who have done Ashtanga Yoga. You will see that. They have done. You find that. Of course, some of them realized Lord Vishnu. They had darshan of Lord Vishnu and attained Vaikuntha. But sometimes, Bhakta gives too much of stress on Yoga and Tapasya. So, Yoga Mishra Bhakti is giving undue importance to the tapasya aspect or the austerities aspect. Aradito yadihri tapasya tatatyam, it is said. If you are already worshipping Krishna, what is the need of kathar tapasya, it is said. Na aradito yadihri tapasya tatatyam. If you are not worshipping Krishna, then all your tapasya is useless, it is said. Like Hiranyakashipu tapasya is useless. So, these are all contaminations in the Shuddha Bhakti. Anya bilashita shunyam. Jnana karma adi anavritam. So we should execute favorable devotion service and that should not be mixed with jnana, karma, yoga and all this mishra. One has to get out of that. So Guru teaches what is bhakti abhas and he clearly tells us, see, this is sahajyaism, don't become a sahajya, don't make a show of bhakti. All of you try to ask yourself before coming to ISKCON, it's likely that many of us, we must have been caught up in one of these abhasas, bhakti abhas. Many a times in India, people imagine that they are great devotees. Like sometimes they come to temple, they see Radha Krishna, and then they imagine that we are also like Radharani, we are also like gopis. They imagine that they have devotion. But if you see their practical life, they are more interested in watching movies. Isn't it? They go to movie, they go to party, they indulge in animal killing. They indulge in all kinds of things, but they imagine that we are like gopis. When they come to temple, they just imagine, foolishly. Some people even speak, I saw, Krishna in my dream, Krishna told me this, told me that. In this way, many people tend to become sahajyayik in India. It's very, very common, sahajyayism. Sahajyayism means taking the bhakti cheaply. Imagining that one is a very great pure devotee, although one is still having a lot of contaminations. Pretending to be a great devotee, pretentious bhakti. That is also bhakti abhas. That is sahajyaism. Yeah. So these are all things which Guru clearly brings out. Guru teaches, the eighth offense says, isn't it? Simply performing ritual chanting of the Vedic mantras. Don't think Hareksha mantra chanting is like that. He teaches very clearly. So he puts the Shuddha Bhakti in the top and explains how it is superior to everything else in the creation. So such an acharya who opens our eyes of knowledge, there is no one in this world who is more important for us than him. That is it, Sakshidhan Dirojai Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. One should serve the special master like that. So hearing from the Guru very attentively and executing the principles taught by the special master and endeavoring in the direction that he has given is very important for a devotee to make progress. A devotee will make swift progress in Krishna consciousness. If a devotee hears the special master's word attentively and makes advancement in that direction properly. Because when we grow in Krishna consciousness, along with the plants, the weeds also grow. They also suck the water. And you find sometimes the plant is not growing at all, it has a stunted growth. Like sometimes you have seen people, they eat a lot of things. A full plate they eat. Still they say, still I'm hungry, I don't know why, after eating so much. So one devotee was saying like this, even after eating, so he was eating as if 3-4 people's plate he was eating, so much. But still hungry. When I went to the doctor, and the doctor tested his stomach and everything and did something, and then out came a big tapeworm, this much long, almost this much length, When tapeworm came out, he brought it out by making him to fast and everything. And the tapeworm was eating everything into the stomach. Similarly, we are watering every day, hearing and chanting, but if you don't uproot the weeds, the different weeds that come, they will take away all the water and our bhakti will be stunted. What is the proof that our bhakti is stunted? You will not be cheerful in your spiritual life. You will always find problems with other devotees. You will always be complaining. You will always be blaming, moaning, wailing, screaming, and finding the path of bhakti to be like a path of thorns and pebbles and stones and walking in the forest way. So one will find bhakti and the services to be a big burden. While one should consider service to be a privilege, one considers service to be a burden. And one finds the association of devotees to be painful. These are symptoms of a person who is not advancing, one who is having a stunted growth in devotional life. One likes loneliness. I want to get rid of devotees. And one wants to be with oneself. And one finds fault with everyone and complains. And one is not cheerful. And one any statement one hears from Shastra, one is immediately doubtful. Okay, why should it be like this? Why not it be like that? All these are symptoms of one who is having a stunted growth in spiritual life. So, that means the weeds are growing. On one hand, all these problems are happening. On the other hand, one secretly delights in sense enjoyment with no one's knowledge. Of course, it's not no one's knowledge. Paramatma is a witness in everyone's heart. But with avoiding others' knowledge, one may be secretly delighting in sense gratificatory activities. And one may be more interested in gaining respect from others, striving for respect, striving for honor, to prove oneself to be very important and great. All these are anarthas, which are the weeds, which grow along with the creeper of devotion service. And spiritual master, thanks to him, what he does, he clearly points out the weeds in our lives. These are the weeds. You have to uproot them. Unless you uproot these weeds, then you cannot become cheerful. You cannot be simple hearted. You cannot make advancement. These are all unnecessary acquisitions in life which stunt the growth of the devotional creeper. So, if we want those weeds, then we won't be able to grow this plant of devotional service. If you want Krishna, you should be ready to forego those things. One should not want to be important person, special person. One should not want adoration, distinction, profit from others, glorification from others' mouths. One should not want to beat everyone else and be in the front in the limelight. So, these are subtle anarthas, which are subtle beads. And there is also envy for other living beings. So these anarthas one should avoid painstakingly. It may be painful, but one should avoid these things. So when one uproots these weeds very sincerely, how can one uproot the weeds? How can one uproot it? It's not easy. In order to do that, one should execute the instructions of the Guru very sincerely. With utmost sincerity. Just like sometimes you have a ink spot in your, sometimes you keep a pen in the pocket, the ink spot comes, And then later on while washing the clothes, you dip it in a soap and you take out and wash, still it is there. It's not gone. You can clearly see it. It is still there. It's not gone. Ink spot. And sometimes you brush it. It doesn't go. Probably you might have put kerosene or petrol or something to remove it. So you need an intense dose. Similarly, we have some anartha sticking to our heart and it's not going. It is coming. The anartha comes out. And then you feel sorry. And then you may seek forgiveness from others for exhibiting the anartha. And after some time, again the same anartha comes. That means it is still there. It's not gone. The same old anartha is still there. But sometimes you need a very intense dose of petrol or kerosene, which is Vaishnava's mercy, with which only it can be removed. So some Vaishnava may give some good piece of advice that may eradicate this anartha. So, Guru plays a very vital role in uprooting the weeds in our life. It's very, very important. So if you take the instructions very seriously and we follow, how the mechanism works, it's a very amazing mechanism how it works. Like first, the disciple is very sincerely executing devotion service. He doesn't waste one moment. Morning to night, every moment he engages in, he or she engages in Krishna consciousness and tries to keep oneself as Krishna conscious as possible. Just like for example, a dying person has an oxygen mask, you know how important it is for him. Without that, any time his life will go. So, to the degree, with what degree and seriousness he will hold on to the oxygen mask or the oxygen that is being supplied to him, he will not allow anyone to remove the tube, isn't it? In that way, a devotee should be trying to keep himself or herself Krishna conscious every moment. It is such a desperate need we have, especially in Kali Yuga. Because if we ignore Krishna and Krishna consciousness, it's very easy for Maya to capture us in this age, Kali Yuga. Very easily. Because we have to serve Krishna or we have to serve Maya. We cannot be in between. So a devotee understands the desperate need of being Krishna conscious at every moment. So one practices sincerely, and when one practices sincerely, what happens? The Chaitya Guru or Paramatma Antaryami, he takes note. And then Krishna says, Tesham, the famous verse, Tesham satata yuktana bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upajantite. Those who are doing satatam kirtan, Tesham satata yuktana, those who are constantly engaged in my service, what the Lord says? Bhajatam priti purvakam, with great loving devotion they serve me. What do I do for them? Dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give them the buddhi, he says. What buddhi gives us? Yenamam upajantite, by which they can come back to me. Then the disciple knows how to take shelter of Vaishnavas, how to take shelter of Guru, how to take shelter of the scriptures, how to take advantage of all the spiritual paraphernalia available around me, by which I can take them, take shelter of them and advance in my spiritual life. How to offer prayers, what mood to execute devotional service, what is right attitude, what is wrong attitude, what is purity, what is impurity, everything becomes clear to a devotee. And then such a devotee is able to very nicely take shelter of these things and they make swift advancement. So what is the key here? The sincerity is the first key. That is what said Acharya Pasanam. Acharya Pasanam means one should worship the spiritual master's lotus feet in one's heart. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. So the lotus feet of the spiritual master, where does it reside? It resides at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like when we worship Gauranitai in the morning, we keep Guru at the feet of Gauranitai, correct? We keep him there and we worship him, offering him a seat there. So he is always in close connection with Gauranitai and Radha Krishna. So he has the potential and ability to connect us. And he has the ability to invest the potential, spiritual potential in us, by which we can very easily face the onslaughts of Maya. And spiritual master has the ability to invest the strength in us, the spiritual strength, by which you will be able to chant the holy name constantly. Like Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Ishwarapuri, after that he was constantly chanting Krishna's name. So Guru has that potency, by which he can invest that potency in us. But we have to follow his instructions very strictly, very seriously. That is why the disciple is singing, you know, that song. He says, Ekakiyamar Nahi paya bala. See the word bala, he uses. Harinama sankirtane tumi krupa kori shraddha binduliya deha krishna namadhane. So he is asking, please give me the wealth of the holy name, my dear spiritual master. Give me the strength to chant the holy name. Some days we try to chant, it is so difficult. Oh, when will the 16 rounds end? One thing like that. That means you don't have the bal. We are very, very weak. We are too weak. Not weak to carry. Mala is not so heavy. But our mind is troubling. Mind is troubling so much. We cannot chant the holy names. But by taking shelter of the Guru and doing Acharya Upasanam, one can very easily get strength to chant the holy names fervently, with devotion, with desperation, with a longing to meet Krishna. So that is Acharya Upasanam. So it's very important. Acharya maam vijaniyam na avamanyeta karhi chet namat buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayaguru. It is said by Krishna himself. Acharya maam vijaniyam. Acharya should be treated just as one treats me. Krishna says that. So we will talk one more item. Cleanliness is essential for making shaucham. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means taking a bath, but for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. So external cleanliness is also important. Krishna says in 16th chapter about those who are in tamoguna, are the asuras. About them he says, na shaucham, na pichacharo, na satyam teshu vidyate. They don't have cleanliness, he says. Those are demoniac in nature. Although modern man appears to be externally clean, he is not very clean. we can see that many times people eat all kinds of rotting flesh. Like I was coming today on a big billboard, they have put a picture of a young girl, you know, eating chicken. I don't know how many of you saw it. She looks like an innocent young girl, but what is she eating? Chicken. Yeah, they are advertising like that. Why don't people think what a great cruelty it is to kill such creatures and eat such unclean flesh and blood of such animals and birds? It is a very unclean thing. But modern man thinks he is very clean, but he eats such abominable things. You can see that. Similarly, although modern man may keep his office externally clean, or room externally clean, he is not clean in many of his habits. We were telling about this once before, but how people use the tissue paper to clean after passing stool. This is a sign of uncleanliness. Modern man thinks he is a big gentleman, but he uses tissue paper to clean. It is so unclean. According to Vedas, the unclean thing should be washed with hand and mud, washed with water. You have to wash with water, mud or soap. Hand should be washed completely, thoroughly. In fact, if one passes stool, one is supposed to take bath, because the whole body becomes contaminated by that activity. One is supposed to take a bath anytime one passes stool. Or one is sleeping more than an hour, one is supposed to take a bath. Otherwise the body is unclean. Like in the night when you sleep, there are so many excretions from all the nine holes of the body. Body becomes dirty. But you see, the Germans and Americans, who are most advanced in technology and science, who are considered to be economic giants, and who are setting the trend for the whole world, they take bath only once in a fortnight, many of them. Yeah, body is so unclean. So uncleanliness is a sign of tamoguna. But external uncleanliness also will lead to internal uncleanliness also. It will sink in. One is not clean externally. A devotee should take bath at least twice a day. A devotee should never be hesitant to cleanse the body. There are many principles of cleanliness given. That's a very big subject in itself. We are not going to talk. We will study in Vaishnava etiquette. That is a separate topic on cleanliness. But Prabhupada also talks about internal cleanliness for chanting the holy name. What happens with chanting the holy name? When we recite the holy name and somehow or other we are able to hear it someday, then it enters the ear, and then it enters the heart and it cleanses the heart. There is a famous verse in Bhagavatam, you know, Shinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Ketana. Why the word Swakata is used? Not only you are sitting inside this body, Lord is also sitting. So when you hear the katha, when you hear the holy name, when it enters the ears and enters the heart, the Lord is hearing that, oh, this person is hearing my katha, swakatha. And what does the Lord do? Hridayantastohya badrani vidhunoti. The Lord cleanses all the impurities in the heart of the devotee. Seeing the sincerity of the devotee, his anxiousness to hear about his glory. So it is not that we cleanse the heart. Who cleanses the heart? Krishna only cleans the heart. We can only do hearing, like all of you are hearing now. By hearing the spiritual message sincerely, with Shraddha, then it enters the ears and enters the heart and cleanses the heart. And then when the heart is cleansed, what happens? One becomes a Dhautatma. Dhautatma Purushat Krishna Padamulam Namunchati. It is said. If one becomes a completely cleansed soul, he will never leave the feet of Krishna at any time in his life. He will always be a pure soul. So if somebody is falling down, that means they have not become pure yet. But if one has become completely pure, they never fall down. That is the promise that is given in the Bhagavatam. Dhautatma Purushat Krishna Padamulam Namunchati. It is there. So that is internal cleaning. And when we chant the holy name, we should do it with this understanding. Prabhupada says about chanting, one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with right understanding. And what is the other thing? I said the other day, you know, two things Prabhupada says. One is the right understanding, and another right thing he says. I was thinking in the morning, no? Attitude? Okay, the right understanding, what Prabhupada says is this. One should think, when you chant Hare Krishna, O Lord Krishna, who is supremely attractive, O Srimati Radharani, who is the energy of Krishna, please relieve me from Maya service and engage me in Krishna service. This is the prayer of the soul. Give me resignation. You are submitting a resignation to Maya. Maya Devi, I am resigning from you, your service now. Maya Das, Sadav Das. Krishna Das, Indas. So you want to get relief from Maya's service. Give a resignation to Maya and you are telling Krishna, now Srimati Radhani, please engage me in Krishna's service. So this is the right understanding. Prabhupada says, once you do this with right understanding, Prabhupada says that. About chanting of the holy name. At the same time, one should also know, what does this chanting do? It cleanses the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. So we should do it with the desire to purify the heart. The desire is also important. I want to purify the heart, cleanse the heart. When one knows that the chanting is medicine, then one will be able to take it in a very serious spirit. Just like you take medicine regularly, especially when you suffer, right? Like if you have some, you know, terrible disease, regularly at time doctor has given you medicine, you will take it because you know I want to cure it. Otherwise it is getting worse, especially when it is painful. Isn't it? Every time you get the pain, you remember, so I have to take the medicine, proper dose. But sometimes, you know, when the disease gets little cured, then you forget the medicine. Correct? You have seen that? People do that. Then they keep it in the cupboard and they forget it. And then again they get it after a week, then they run to the doctor. And doctor will say, are you taking the medicine regularly? No doctor, I stopped the course because I was getting well. Same way, people chant the holy names as soon as, like many people, frustrated people come sometimes. They say, sir, please teach us some stress management. Then you give the holy name. Then they chant the holy name and very soon they get peace of mind. They get peace of mind, they stop coming. They stop chanting also. Till they get stressed out another time. So, one should never take this medicine cheaply. The medicine of the holy name. It is not only there to relieve our stress, but it is going to do much more than that. It's going to awaken the love in our heart for Krishna. So, heart should be kept clean, and we all know the heart is filled with various anarthas. Lot of anarthas. Just like, especially for subconscious mind. In the conscious mind, at least we can know what anarthas are coming up on the surface. But subconscious mind is down deep. How do you know there are impurities in subconscious mind? That is one very easy method to know. Anybody knows? He's saying dreams come, bad dreams come, he's saying. Dusvapna. But also, sometimes a person is a good person. He's doing nice. Suddenly a person commits a blunder. And he or she doesn't know why one acted like that. And why one is surprised. How I never contemplated on such a thing. Why suddenly I acted like that, like a fool. So that is coming from the subconscious mind. Because impurities are there in subconscious mind. Like if you have an ink bottle, sometimes at the bottom there is some ink, you know, stuck, very dry. So you put some water and you know, clean it. Immediately all the water becomes bluish. Then you throw it out, again put some water, again it is bluish, you see. You keep on removing, so much blue water comes. But then if you keep on putting water and cleaning, at one time the water will not become blue. It will become white. Similarly, the holy name, you put inside the ears, it goes inside the heart, and it brings out all the impurities. That is why sometimes devotees have to come into Krishna consciousness. They feel they are attacked by varieties of anarthas. You are not attacked newly by anarthas. Anarthas are already there. They are coming out now. Because you already started digging the pit of the subconscious mind. All the dirty things are coming out now. But if you patiently continue chanting, just like Kaliya was emitting the poison and, you know, fumes, all the anarthas are coming out. Similarly, anarthas come out of her heart also. So you will see that every devotee goes through this. He becomes envious, you know, of somebody, he becomes angry, you know, they will break relation with some Vaishnavas, and they become proud. Everyone goes through this. It's like, you know, you have to go through that route. And then gradually the anarthas will be, you know, they'll be removed. And the devotee becomes clean and pure over a period of time. But if you are very sincere, we don't have to go a hard way. We can go an easy way. If you are very sincere, anarthas will be removed very easily. So, our heart is filled with such anarthas. That is a very beautiful prayer. You know this prayer about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anarpita charim chirat karunayat avatirna kalau samarpayetam unnata ujvalarasam Svabhakti Shriyam Hari Purata Sundara Dyuti Kadam Basandi Pitaha Sada Hridayakandare Suratau Vashyati Nandana. Very nice prayer. This prayer says, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unarpita charanchirat for a long period of time this Madhuri Bhakti was not offered. Madhuri Bhakti means the Radha Krishna Prem that was not offered for a very long period of time. There was only Aishwarya Bhakti that people knew. But Lord Chaitanya has come, descended what for giving this Madhuri Bhakti. So that is a Sada Hrudaya Kandare Swarato Vashachirandana. May that lion of Lord Chaitanya enter our hearts, he says. Why he says lion of Lord Chaitanya? Sometimes a lion chases an elephant. See, elephant is so huge in size, but lion is so short. But the lion, with the paw, sometimes attacks on the neck of the elephant. And then it knocks the elephant off. And even a lion can kill an elephant, it's possible. So when a lion chases an elephant, the elephant cannot run so fast like the lion. Sometimes he enters into a cave. But the lion doesn't leave him. He also enters into the cave. And he kills the elephant and drags him out of the cave and brings him. Similarly, the elephant is compared to all the darkness in our hearts. The uncleanliness in our hearts. And Lord Chaitanya is compared to the lion. So we are praying to Lord Chaitanya that, oh great lion. So lion amongst sannyasis is called as lion amongst the vijas, vijasreshta. So we pray to him, oh Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come as a devotee. So you enter my heart, gufa. Our heart is like a gufa, inside which the dark elephant of anarthas are sitting, hiding there. And it is escaping from the Lord. So Lord goes inside and attacks that all that anarthas and brings it out by the performance of devotional service. It's a beautiful meaning, no? Amazing meaning. So by following the path that is given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can become very quickly purified. Very, very powerful path. Path of Bolo Krishna, Vajo Krishna, Karo Krishna, Shiksha. Simply by chanting Krishna's name, by worshipping Krishna, and by teaching about Krishna, one can become purified very fastly. This is the simple path that he teaches. So I'll stop here with this, and we'll continue next week. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.